Super Friends, Batman, Wonder Woman. Lend me your ears. I come to bury the DCU, not to praise it. The crappy movies that franchises do live after them. The good is off sent to die in mid-December with little to no marketing. So let it be with Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Hops and box office flops. A place where we can celebrate the underdog films, the bombs, the disasters, the much maligned movies that have drowned in their infamy. So please sit back, grab a beer, and enjoy the show.
Good evening, all, and welcome to the 230th episode of Hops and Box Office Flops, the internet's premier pod for bad movies and mostly good beer. Tonight, we are discussing the final chapter of our Hops and Superheroic Flops with 2023's Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. I am King of Atlantis, Captain Cash, and with me is my brother from the same mother, but a different dad, Bling Blake.
Half a dozen people from the local bar all know my name. Doesn't mean they have to like me.
In fact, I would be surprised if they did. That's not true. You're very charming.
I didn't know Aquaman went to the American Legion.
You've got to hang out somewhere.
It's the Benevolent Protective Order of the Elks, I'll have you know.
All right, along for the ride is the spy cephalopod, the Thunderous Wizard.
You guys all smell like chum butter, so let's get this show on the road.
And speaking of chum butter, ruling from his pirate haven in the Sunken Kingdom is Chumpzilla.
Yarg! Let there be a green parallax, because that looks like a green parallax.
Yar, indeed, that be a Green Lantern reference in the Aquaman movie. Yar. Before we get into talking about the movie, let's talk beer. And in honor of the product placement so prevalent in this film, and realistically just what we had left over in the fridge after St. Paddy's Day, tonight we're enjoying the taste of Guinness. This classic dry Irish stout comes at a me disapproved 4.2%. Still, if you've only ever had one dark beer in your life, I am willing to bet my weight in orichalcum it was this beer. Gentlemen, I assumed you were all able to acquire it.
I'm just
blown away. Oh, I can hear the nitro.
Wow. I'm just blown away that you were able to pronounce the word orichalcum on your first try. That's really
that was quite impressive. Was pretty good, yeah.
And yes, cheers. Cheers to Guinness.
I'm Irish. For strength. So my blood runs on Guinness. If you put a spigot in me, boom. You'd be drinking all night.
In the event Morbius attacked you,
he'd have Guinness. The best St. Patrick's Day of his life. Would he be a little malnourished? Yes.
Do you think he would start looking for the bass after, you know, a couple
it would
rounds?
It'd be more like his arch nemesis, who I don't even remember the name of, doing the shirtless dance by the end of
bad,
the day.
Bad Morbius.
Bad Morbius.
Worst Morbius.
Morbius.
All right. So how many bad movies would you sit through for this beer? Let's start with the most Irish among us, the Thunderous Wizard.
Oh, give me a break. This is three all day.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. To elaborate, Bling Blake?
Three.
Do we have a clean sweep? Chumzilla.
Oh, yeah, three bad movies for sure. I mean, the thing about Guinness, it is a dark beer. It looks very dark and heavy in the glass, and it does have a nice, thick, creamy head. But here's the thing. It's a very easy drinking, low ABV beer. You can definitely drink Guinness for three movies and probably not hate yourself.
I actually agree. This is a three movie beer. We have a unanimous three movie beer. This might actually be the first time this has ever happened. I'm ready. We play shit movie champion. I'm ready to call this best beer champion. Best movie beer, yeah. Guinness.
I'd say so. You know, Bling Blake, I was texting you last weekend when Ireland won the Six Nations, and I was enjoying a Guinness, relishing that moment. Of course, it was later in the day. I watched it on demand. But oh, what a sweet, sweet victory it was for the Irish. Two Six Nations titles in a row. England can fuck off.
All right. Well, before we get into the
rude,
what do you call it? The inter-British Isles conflicts. Let's talk about, yes, before we turn this into the Troubles pod, let's move on to certain other challenges present on islands or under them in Aquaman 2. This movie saw the return of James Wan to the director's helm and stars Jason Momoa as the titular Water Boy. Patrick Wilson, Tamara Morrison, Nicole Kidman, and Amber Heard reprise their roles as Orm, Aquadad, Aquamom, and Aquawife. Yahya Abdul-Mateen and Randall Park are back for turns as the villainous Black Manta and the kind of villainous Black Mad Scientist.
Yep, sure, yeah, let's go with that.
The morally challenged, also.
Yeah, he's not. He's clearly not a. Yeah, he's not a good guy. He's not a bad guy, and he mostly feels bad about the bad he's doing.
Is he a scientist? Is that explicit?
Yes, he is a scientist. Yes. He is okay. Oceanographer.
Oceanographer. That's it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Evil oceanographer. Yeah.
Evil oceanographer who somehow also manages to get ancient machines working somehow.
Yeah, because the whole first movie is all about Black Manta taking advantage of the technology, but apparently that dude gets
given the technology. And
but he alters it, right? I mean,
he retrofits it or whatever. But yeah, okay. In this one, it's kind of implied that, you know, the crow's eye is like, all right, now put this here and put that there. Stop fucking around. Do this, do that.
I'm just saying, oceanographers are often considered the mechanical engineers of marine scientists. So it completely lines up, and don't look into that any further.
That Jaws animatronic didn't get itself from the bottom of the ocean, okay?
That's true. On a budget of $215 million, Aquaman's sophomore outing pulled in a disappointing $434 million, made particularly more disappointing by the fact the previous film pulled in over $1 billion.
Yeah, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. This movie came out around the same time as The Marvels. Both of those sequels absolutely bombed in comparison to the first films that made $1 billion. So I can't necessarily blame the movies so much. I mean, they're both not good. They're not as good as the previous ones, but it just feels like the appetite for these just wasn't there.
Well, this is a bad year. This 2023 was a particularly bad year for comic book movies because outside of Guardians, all
flopped. Spider-Verse
did really, really well, but Spider-Verse, like, Oscar-nominated movie, a lot of demand for something
it's
like
animated.
That.
It's a different animal.
But, you know, like, Blue Beetle we did on the pod didn't do well. The Flash
That's a good movie,
did
though.
Not do well.
Not a good movie.
Which I also liked. The Marvels.
Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam. Shazam also not as good as the original, although I thought didn't deserve to flop that bad.
Yeah, should have done better.
But, yeah, I thought, you know, with no marketing for this to make the most speaks that there was an audience for Aquaman. People like the original. It has an 81% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, people just like Momoa.
Yeah.
Fair.
True.
I don't know what the deal is with the Marvels outside of you needed to do way too much homework to be invested in a sequel that shouldn't have required you to watch two other television shows.
And I have not watched
arguably
it.
Three.
Yeah, I have not watched it. Okay. All the clips, the trailers, everything I've seen, it looks like a Power Rangers movie.
It's fine.
It's colorful.
It's harmless fun. The young girl's very charming.
Yeah, it's not, true.
I don't enjoy it as much as this, but I would say the dip in quality is about the same.
Mm. From
Captain Marvel to the Marvels as Aquaman to this.
Yeah.
I watched it because I thought we were going to do it. Guys, oops. Hosed me.
We still might. There's time.
We're gonna run out of flops eventually, but let's go back to Aquaman 2,
right,
and do our one sentences. Your one sentence description before we go around the horn, let me give you IMDb's, which is: Black Manta seeks revenge on Aquaman for his father's death. Wielding the Black Trident's power, he becomes a formidable foe. To defend Atlantis, Aquaman forges an alliance with his imprisoned brother. They must protect the kingdom.
For those of you who have any kind of English comprehension, you'll notice that's actually four sentences to describe this. And that gives you some idea what kind of mess this movie turned into. Can you all do better? Let's kick it to the Thunderous Wizard.
Okay, so I have a few. I'll go in order of my favorites. First one being Aquaman 2, : Tang Bro and Splash.
Oh, I like that.
You've got
okay.
Aquaman 2, : PP tape.
There is a lot of pee in this movie for some reason.
You've got Aquaman 2, An Inconvenient Truth. And then you've got A Lovely Day for a Guinness and a Trident Fight.
So like any random Wednesday in Dublin then.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Fair enough. All right.
Also, lots of pee.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Okay. Do you like fish sticks? Because this movie blows fish sticks.
Oh, aggressive, but funny. All right, Bling Blake, what's yours?
Wow. Okay. Lethal Weapon Mermaids picks up right where Miami Vice Abyss left off, mending old wounds and opening some new ones.
And opening some Guinnesses. Yeah. Mine was Super Mermaid Bros and the 2 days before the day after tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into the plot and talk about what actually happens in this thing. The short version is this is set 4 years after the last movie. Arthur Curry, our Aquaman, Jason Momoa, has married Mira and is now officially the king of Atlantis. Add to this, he is balancing life as a new father as they have just had a son, Arthur Jr. And there is just like a lot of pee. Like the first thing we see Mira do is use her powers to bend pee into Aquaman.
I got some questions about her desire to get pee in his mouth. Is this like a regular occurrence in the Curry household?
I want to know about other fluids that she can bend. I have questions.
Wine. You know, she turned those. Oh. She did some damage with the wine.
I mean, technically, would diarrhea count too? Because she, you know,
hell yeah, dude. She gets
the soil beds.
Blood the hell out of somebody's bathroom.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Add to this fact, Black Manta, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, is off to seek revenge for Aquaman mostly letting his dad die when they tried to pirate that submarine in that first movie.
Sure, right?
Yeah.
It's a through line for a villain. That's always welcome. Yeah, he's back. That's fair. He survived. He's got a reason to hate.
Still mad.
Yeah.
Still, just one quick question. Is there any real value in the 4-year time jump other than just giving Arthur time to sire a son?
Maybe. It explains why everyone looks just a little bit older, maybe.
Okay, sure. Okay.
Yeah. But using Dr. Shin's help, the oceanographer, Black Manta discovers a black trident, which promises him the power to destroy Aquaman and Atlantis.
Again, color stuff. This is clearly a Green Lantern riff, right?
It does feel that way.
Like, I'm sorry.
I don't know a lot about Aquaman comics, but I'll be honest with you. I don't remember like a Necron's a bad guy in Green Lantern, and Necros, who's the bad guy here, seems kind of close, guys, but completely different. Either way, using the new machines that the oceanographer has managed to make work from the ancient Orichalcum mines, Black Manta attacks Atlantis to steal more Orichalcum to power the machines, but are driven away by the Atlantean forces, and causes Mira to conveniently be injured, so she's out the rest of the movie for reasons.
Here's my largest issue with the movie is that we know that there was a lot of reshoots and a lot of editing.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, it's like, all right, we're breaking into this high security vault. Does not appear to be anywhere near Atlantis. And then they're just in Atlantis. And it's like, where the fuck was the last 15 minutes of the movie? What happened?
There are very obvious instances where you can tell that this was really hacked to the bone to get it to just write it 2 hours.
It's one of the only ones that's super glaring, aside from like how often they do their damnedest to not show Amber Heard, which is they try really hard to have her not around, which is like, all right, whatever, but still
say knocking her out in act one and giving her the, oh, she's gone into a coma, more or less.
It's okay. No. Duke survived.
Yeah, he's gone into a coma. Oh no. Yeah. Either way, the Black Manta's forces are driven off and they have to find a way to help fight Black Manta. So they come up with a plan to break Orm, Ocean Master, played by Patrick Wilson, right? Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
That's okay. The guy, yeah.
That guy cannot catch a break, man.
Man, like, it kills me how good he is in this.
He's a good actor.
Fantastic. When he's doing the Naruto run because he doesn't understand how running works, I love it.
Oh, and the part that kills me too is he looks exactly like comic book Aquaman. Like, I'm cool with Jason Momoa getting the part and he absolutely elevates this to a different level, but there's a universe out there where they let Patrick Wilson be Aquaman, and that also worked pretty well.
They both look like different versions of the character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the plan is to break out the bad guy from the last movie and get his help to figure out where all this orichalcum is coming from. Because this orichalcum, which, God, that's such a funny word.
What is that a comic thing? Because I'm not an Aquaman guy.
It's a Greek myth thing.
Okay, so gave Atlantis their own vibranium.
Yeah, this
okay.
movie yes. was very specifically supposed to be it's not even vague, like it's global warming,
yeah,
climate
yeah.
change, like, hey, stop fucking around. And Jason Momoa co-wrote it.
Hold on. Is,
he's very passionate about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, environment, he's great. We love him. Fantastic. Okay, I want to do a new one sentence.
Go ahead.
Another inconvenient 48 hours.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, that's layered.
I feel like you're borrowing a little bit from
obviously
the Thunder Wizard, but we will allow it. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the thing we didn't mention is orichalcum is some sort of hyper greenhouse gas, so that it immediately, as they burn it, here's my thing. If it's a greenhouse gas, doesn't it like melt the polar ice caps, which would make the Atlanteans have more space? Isn't that
well,
good for
but
them?
That's also, it's also terrible for the planet, so.
But yeah, and Arthur's of both worlds,
yeah,
so.
Okay, fair. I understand why Aquaman doesn't want that. I don't understand why the Atlanteans at large have a problem
because as soon as that ice cap melts, then the crow's eye gets out and starts,
yeah, the bad guy gets
around.
Out.
Oh, that's
everybody.
Right, yeah, okay, well, but genocide. They don't know that, do
it's
they?
Still genocide,
they don't okay, know, but fine. Orichalcum is clearly whatever is in Trump's diaper.
To be fair, the Atlanteans, one of the first surface movies the Atlanteans saw was Waterworld. So they're very adverse to creating that scenario.
What the worst thing that can happen is an Aquaman Kevin Costner.
The documentary Waterworld, like, oh God, we can't let this happen.
Everybody gets addicted to cigarettes and just rides jet skis.
This
sounds
is
like
the bad
Florida.
Future.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That sounds like Tampa, bro.
You just described my retirement. I won't tell anybody that I've won the lottery, but there will be signs. Jet skis and cigarettes, baby.
Oh, man. Aquaman, with the help of what is unquestionably the best animal sidekick, Topo, the stealth octopus who's here, and there's also another pee joke. Again, there's a lot of pee jokes, guys.
Hey, isn't this just ripping off Finding Dory?
I don't know. But a little.
Ed O'Neill plays the octopus.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If Ed O'Neill was the voice of Topo, that would have crushed so much.
That would have been way better.
But he has to do it as Al Bundy.
Yeah, like super sarcastic.
But they break in, they break Orm out. It's a really great scene. They do the Captain America thing where they put Patrick Wilson's head on this tiny body. Until he gets into the ocean, then he becomes an ass kicker, and it's really good. It's fun.
It's a cool scene. And I like the weird sand people who have been like basically emaciated from lack of,
like, they're
moisture.
Living in the desert because if you keep the Atlanteans in the desert, it weakens them. I don't understand the sand people, but I don't really care. It was a fun time.
It's very comic booky and it's fun.
Yeah,
they drink. Precisely. They drink blood.
Yes, they do.
Oh, maybe that's where Marbius moved.
Marbius becomes one of the sand prison guards. Once Orm and Aquaman are together, they go visit the underwater Star Wars bar, which I mean, like it is so scum and villainy. I'm like,
it's
everybody in 2023 was doing their Star Wars bar between this and Ant-Man. It was clearly
inspired by that and a rip, but at least this one had a husky, like overtly sexualized Martin Short as the Kingfish.
I did not know that was Martin Short until I looked it up later. I'm like, that was Martin Short? Oh my God, that's incredible.
Man, that dude was ready to pound some fish chum and have an orgy in the back room.
He truly loves fish sticks.
His fish stick was it. Full attention.
Either way, from him, protested. They learned the location of the secret orichalcum mine that Black Manta is using to pump so much greenhouse gases into the air. Aquaman and Aquabro go to the island, which now has a bunch of monsters on it, because in addition to being a terrible greenhouse gas, orichalcum also mutates everything that's around it. We get like a fun little chase sequence, and we get the big fight. They manage to disable a lot of this stuff, but they learn that when Orm comes into contact with the Black Trident, it shows him what they're trying to do, which is release the really bad guy who's been what's been talking to Black Manta this whole time, telling him, burn the orichalcum, do this whole thing. So now we've got three bad guys. This is the fourth final bad guy, you guys, that they want to get released. And in fact, the Lost Kingdom is the Lost Kingdom of, God damn it, what is it?
Necrus.
Necrophilia.
Yes. Of Necrus.
Nope. Different kingdom playing.
Sorry. I blacked out for a minute. What happened? What are we talking about?
Yeah. And the bad guy is Kordax. They learn that the only way for Kordax to be released is by some of the blood of the King of Atlantis getting there, which leads us to what is probably the thing Black Manta is most famous for kind of happening, except it doesn't happen, which in the comics, Black Manta is famous for murdering Aquaman's infant son. Here, they don't kill the baby, but they do kill Boba Fett.
No, he survives.
Oh, he survives?
He makes it.
Yeah, he does the haka at the end.
That's right.
He gets the Atlantean medical care. Like it's like Canada and Atlantis, like one and two in the world.
Huh. Go figure.
The power of Nicole Kidman's speech at the AMC movie theater saves him.
Yep.
We come to the movies to feel. Anyway.
Yeah. No consequences for any of this.
I had read in test screenings, there was a scene that like was very off-putting to people. And I assume that maybe they went full baby murder at one point in the development film.
And then they realized they were Disney.
You literally can't do that. Yeah.
Oh no, they're not. They're the other one, right?
And I have no problem with them stopping short, but they should have cut Aquaman's hand off.
Yeah. I would have liked that.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you know that you'll never have to do anything with that again. Yeah. Just go for it.
Yeah.
Well, that begs the question, why do any reshooting at all? Because they knew this was going nowhere after they delayed it the third time or whatever it was.
I'll say this, in the comics, Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead loses a hand at some point. Mm-hmm. I think, and they never did that in the show because like it'd be too fucking hard. Like we can't do that week in and week out. He's got to
this is a TV budget, buddy. We ain't doing that.
So yeah, I think at some point they might have avoided that and never got
instead they took some random side character's hand who then disappeared for like two seasons and then came back to die.
Look, anytime you can have Rooker back, it's a positive thing. Let's not worry about that.
Come on now.
Either way, I guess Boba Fett makes it. My bad. But they definitely kidnap his son and take him to an altar in Antarctica with the idea that either Aquaman's going to show up or they're going to sacrifice his baby to release Necrus. Or wait, to release Kordax in Necrus. God.
Fucking Parallax.
Orichalcum. Orichalcum, guys. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Orm gets there. Aquaman gets there. They have a fight. Aquaman catches the trident and breaks the bad trident, and hooray, it ends with the Black Panther one of Aquaman effectively declaring Atlantis to the world and agreeing to join the UN.
If eyes can change and yous can change, then why can't we all change?
Right. And then I assume once Atlantis joins the UN, Russia launches World War III. So what do you think is more dangerous, the nukes or orichalcum or orichalcum nukes?
Ooh, yeah,
that'd be bad.
The orichalcum laced nukes, yeah.
Yep.
The ultimate threat.
The final shot in this film, the final shot of the DCEU, Patrick Wilson eating a hamburger. He sees a cockroach. There's an earlier reference that cockroaches are the shrimp of the land. Picks it up, puts it on the burger, eats the cockroach burger. The now, end.
To be fair, I think that's a terrible reference because I believe the correct comparison there would be a worm.
A worm is the shrimp of the land?
Yeah. They're pink. They eat shit.
Way to ruin a joke that wasn't funny to begin with.
Well, I'm just saying, like, a shrimp is a bottom feeder and you have to devein it. You can do the
everything
same thing.
Cool the cash just said, you ruined.
Well, I'm just saying, you could do the same thing with a worm. You can like, squeeze
everyone
the
here
poop
is now
and
dumber for having heard that.
That's not in the
I
movie,
award
though.
You no points.
It could have been.
And may God have mercy on your soul.
All right. Before we go to break, I want to hear how many beers do you need to enjoy this movie, Bling Blake?
I give it 3, I guess. Maybe 4, but if it's 4, it's 2 and 2.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Chumzilla.
4 confusion beers. I don't hate this movie, but I had to watch it twice and I still don't feel like I fully got what was going on. And as much fun as Momoa is, the movie just doesn't do enough to keep my interest. I kept kind of finding myself wandering off. So yeah, 4 confusion beers.
When Momoa is not on the screen, the other characters should be asking, where is Aquaman? I want to hang out with him. All right, Thunderous Wizard, how many beers?
So I think I gave The Flash 3 enjoyment beers and 1 pain beer because of some of the issues with it. And The Flash I like better than this.
Really?
I do enjoy this movie. Because I love Momoa, I love Patrick Wilson. So I'm going to go 2.5 enjoyment beers, 1.5 pain beers. The editing thing is pretty blatant. The feeling as you watch it that there's really no reason to watch it because why? It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't, you know, a movie can be a movie unto itself. It doesn't have to be part of a larger universe.
True,
but
yeah.
I also think that this movie was so very clearly hacked to pieces that as much fun as it is to watch Patrick Wilson and Momoa, and they absolutely carry this film. They do an amazing job with what seems like a script that is at best very confusing. They're 2 enjoyment beers the whole time. Like, I know I made a joke, but no lie, whenever they're on screen, I'm having a good time.
They're great, yeah.
Yeah, it's everything else. So, yeah, I'm going to go 4, 2 pain, 2 enjoyment. Overall, again, not bad, just not great.
I think my biggest regret with the DCU as a whole now, which I rather enjoyed for the most part, is you have 2 chances to let us say goodbye to these characters in some fashion, like the entire gang, and instead you force them to reshoot after credit scenes and make them totally throwaways. And this movie had Ben Affleck in the end. They took that out. This movie had Michael Keaton in the end.
Yeah.
They took that out. You know, just give us those versions. And then, like, even though I know it's ending, at least I'm like, oh, cool. As I said on the Flashpod, yeah, Batman survived. He's going to be kicking ass. That's not how he goes out. It's just kind of like a slap in the face.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's go to a quick break. Welcome back to the 230th episode of Hops and Box Office Flops, where we are talking Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. We've just wrapped up the plot. We've talked about how many beers we need to have to enjoy this film. Now, on to some lingering questions. The big question for me, and I want to hear from Chumzilla, what could have saved this movie from flopping?
That's a tough one because, again, I think this was really an uphill battle. Not a great environment for this movie to be released. Again, audiences seemingly weren't engaged. We can take the Thunderous Wizards talking point that folks already knew Gunn was rebooting everything, so this didn't have a future. It was definitely going to be a struggle regardless of how good the movie was ultimately in the end, but I think you nailed it. The funnest part of this movie, or the most fun this movie is the dynamic between Momoa and Patrick Wilson. I think we can all agree, great combo. If they had found a way to basically pair Black Manta with another classic DC villain of any rogues gallery and have that be the ultimate threat. Aquaman starts off the movie facing Black Manta and dun, 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 player two gets his butt kicked in the first act, has to regroup, comes back, frees his half brother. And then it's a simplified, just more streamlined plot where they're battling those two villains. I mean, I don't know. Throw somebody out here, Captain Cash.
You're describing the plot of Godzilla X Kong, where Kong gets his butt kicked by the Scar King. And I mean, like, the trailer gives everything away, right? Seemingly, there's going to be another monster that attacks him. And then he's like, I need some help. Better go get my ex-enemy to help me.
Yeah.
They were buddies at the end of the last one. It's fine.
Yeah. But I mean, give me a villain here. Who can we use, Cash, to pair with Black Manta?
That's the thing. Like, if you were to ask me who are the Aquaman villains, I can give you two, Ocean Master and Black Manta, and that is it.
That's all we got.
For a while, there was the dryness or something.
Well, okay, fine. Give me a Superman villain, you know? Just pull it in there because, again, back to T-Dub's point, then you can have him show up in the post-credits. Oh, thanks for taking care of my light work, boys.
My only pushback is they basically did that. They just took Parallax or they took Necron, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting point, but
give
a more...
Metallo. Maybe Metallo's powered by the Orichalcum or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that. Just something to make it a little more engaging because
in the
he's the big
universe.
Dead guy. Okay, fair enough. Bling Blake, yeah. What do you think would help keep what would have kept this from flopping?
Any marketing?
Well, you probably would have been helpful.
I mean, obviously, this suffered because of the strikes and they weren't able to promote it when they should have. Or they started promoting it too long before they did. So, man, I feel like almost by the time this thing came out, everybody thought it had been out for a while. Like, nobody was ready for it. I think there is still, obviously, an appetite for, if nothing else, Momoa.
I'll go watch Momoa and stuff. What's he in?
Especially if he's doing Aquaman shit, right? Like, that's cool.
I love his Aquaman, and I'm not a big Aquaman fan. I thought he made the character cool.
I mean, that's exactly why they hired him to do it, because Aquaman is a punchline. So
thanks, Super Friends.
Right. So I don't know, but I think the answer is do a better job with marketing, time it up better. I know you had some delays, but figure it out.
So I'm going to
figure it out.
I'm going to step in here and say, I don't buy that marketing cop out because the MCU movies didn't make all the money they did because of the marketing. They built hype for the films with the fan
base. Yeah, but Aquaman made $1 billion.
It did. It did.
And then they sent this movie to die. Didn't even do a real premiere.
I don't think that the reason the MCU movies were successful, the second and third phases, you know, after the origin films were done, had the first Avengers, at that point, marketing is no longer the driving factor. It's the fan hype. People are going to show up. That's the Captain Marvel makes $1 billion without a single TV spot. It didn't need one. No, don't get me wrong. I'm being a little hyperbolic there. Yes, it does matter. It does help. It does help get butts in the seats. But it wasn't relying on that. The hype was there. That was just there to amplify it.
Okay.
And both those movies, both Captain Marvel and Aquaman 2, or the Marvels and Aquaman 2, they both bombed. They had commercials.
Except this movie did approximately $200 million better.
Oh, yeah.
The Marvels. Absolutely. So that movie's inexplicably bad in terms of box office bank.
And what I'm saying is the marketing is not the problem. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, Thunderous Wizard, what do you think the problem is?
The delays killed The Flash. It killed this. It killed everything.
Just the delays alone, you think?
This originally, The Flash got delayed first. Okay, take out the Keaton cameo. Can't use that anymore. Shoot a Ben Affleck cameo. Cool. Then this gets delayed an entire calendar year. And then, so now you're 8 months removed from James Gunn saying, like, hey, soft reboot. Actually, more of a hard reboot. By the way, he's probably not coming back as Aquaman, which was like said in many interviews over the summer. Like, yeah, that's probably it for him. You can't do that to a movie.
Yeah, I mean, if
nobody cares anymore then.
Yeah, if you're studio exec, how can you leave a movie like this in the can for a year?
Yeah, that is a good point where it's like, just release it, right?
You're losing money, yeah.
It's already done.
I'm sure there was some kind of strategy, right? Like, they shifted everything. All of a sudden, Black Adam's the only movie left in calendar year 2022.
Have Black Adam show up as an anti-hero.
By the way, I mean, that made more money than all of them for all the shit that movie got, right? So I don't know. I think people just don't care as much anymore either. So
okay,
everybody's in for a tough road ahead.
Here's my second lingering question. Which has the more believable example of resurrecting ancient tech? This movie or Battlefield Earth?
I'll take dumbest questions the pod has ever asked for 300, Alex. It's always Battlefield Earth.
The correct answer is always Battlefield Earth, especially when the wrong answer is Battlefield Earth. Okay, so but real question, put your thinking caps on, because I like this one. As Thunderous Wizard had mentioned, there are rumors that Momoa is not sticking around as Aquaman anymore, but in the new DC, it's been heavily rumored that he is going to play Lobo. Of the previous DCEU cast, who would you like to see cast in the new DC universe playing characters they haven't played previously? So in other words, you could get Cavill, but he can't play Superman. You can get Gal Gadot. She can't be Wonder Woman.
Well, stop naming all the people.
No one wants Ezra Miller back at all.
Okay, so this
so it's fine. But
so you get Cavill, but you make him Cyborg Superman.
And Henshaw, not a bad idea.
I think that'd be really rad. Momoa is perfect as Lobo.
Oh, I know. That's way too. It's perfect. He should have been Lobo from the word go.
He's literally Lobo.
Lobo's still less famous than Aquaman. But yeah, give me a real Pedro Pascal character.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
And give Patrick Wilson something to do again. He's always good in a superhero flick.
I would take Patrick Wilson as Aquaman.
But he's already had the he was Night Owl and he was perfect as Dan Dreiberg.
He could do Nightwing.
No.
Patrick Wilson?
He's way too old.
He's in his 50s.
You need like...
he looked good in this movie.
You maybe get like future Dick Grayson.
Yeah, is he Nightwing that only fights crime from 7 p.m. and earlier?
Yeah,
the blue plate special.
He could be an older Nightwing that's a mentor to Tim Drake or Damian, whatever.
I know this is kind of cheating, but I mean, Keaton is as old Bruce Wayne and Batman Beyond would have been perfect. But now, I mean, even Affleck is an older Bruce Wayne in that role, and then you get.
If Affleck could get back in shape, I would take him as a Kingdom Come Superman.
Okay, could do that. So here, my take was, you get Cavill, and it's a lesser known character, but there was a really great run by Tom King recently, which you get him to play the Human Target. The Human Target is a normal human, but he looks just like Archer from the Archer show, which is basically just Cavill. But the Human Target's whole thing is that he puts on the appearance or the costume of someone that someone is trying to assassinate. So he becomes the target for the assassination. That'd be a great excuse to have him dress up like Superman again for no reason. It'd be a great excuse to have him dress up like any of the other DC Pantheon for fun. Yeah. And Cavill would look great in it. I just, if you haven't had a chance to check out Human Target by Tom King, it is absolutely worth your read. But I think that would be a fun thing for Cavill to do. And he'd be great at it. That's my 10 cents. Now, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, Aqua Trivia. Welcome back to Hops and Box Office Flops. We have moved on to the trivia portion of the evening. Tonight, gentlemen, for Aqua Trivia, you will be playing for one jar full of orichalcum. I filled it myself.
So is it like... Oh,
so that's another pee joke.
Is it like viscous? Is it slippery?
It can be, if you're not careful.
Mm.
But also oddly sticky. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
I know. First question. When I see it.
First question. We all know the best animal sidekick is the spy octopus Topo. But what is the name of Aquaman's seahorse mount?
Oh, man.
Is it A, horse C? Is it B, Storm? Is it C, Muppo? Or is it D, Saana?
Farts and Tarts.
Ooh, that's going to go to Thunderous Wizard.
Storm?
Storm is correct.
Yeah.
But I would like points for whore C.
Oh, that was my guess, 100%.
Yeah, thank you.
You had me. You nailed me.
Damn it. All right, well, one to Thunderous Wizard.
You hooked me.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's a C joke, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving to two, Jason Momoa was the first to pitch a sequel to Aquaman, and he received a story credit as such, making him the sixth such person to receive a writing credit for a comic book superhero film that they also starred in.
Hmm.
Who among the following are not part of the other five? Ooh. In other words, I'm going to give you four names. Which of these did not receive a writing credit for a superhero film in which they starred? Is it A, Christopher Reeve for Superman, The Quest for Peace? Is it B, Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool 2? Is it C, Edward Norton for The Hulk? Is it D, Tom Hardy for Venom, Let There Be Carnage?
Farts and Tarts.
Chumpzilla.
I believe it's going to be D, Tom Hardy.
You are incorrect. Tom Hardy received a credit.
I'm going to shoot.
Bling Blake.
Christopher Reeve didn't want none of Quest for Peace.
That is not true.
That was actually a question on the pod. Yeah, yeah.
I know we did that. I thought it was the other way around. Damn it.
So
all right. That leaves Ed Norton for Hulk or Ryan Reynolds for Deadpool 2.
I think Norton took his name off the Hulk, if I remember correctly.
That is correct. Though Norton did do a script.
He wanted it.
Yeah, he meddled
did
enough.
Not receive a writing credit.
The whole reason they replaced him was because he was a pain in the ass, apparently.
Yeah. So that's two to the Thunderous Wizard. Well done. Still anybody's game. Moving into three. Orichalcum is actually a metal from Greek myth, and it means mountain copper. What color is it according to legend? Is it A, red, B, green, C, blue, or D, orange?
Huh.
Gonna shoot.
All right, Bling Blake. 25% chance. Here we go.
Blue.
Ah, I'm sorry. Incorrect.
Chum butter.
Chum butter to the Thunderous Wizard.
Orange.
Orange. Good guess, but incorrect.
Yeah.
All right.
50-50, Chumpy. What you got? Red or green?
Shrimps of the Sea, green.
It was red. Good try, everybody.
I figured it had to be copperish.
Since it was either red or orange, right?
No,
copper and green.
Yeah.
When it oxidizes, and the villain was green. So,
It was meant to be a tricky one.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on, and there are some bonus questions for this one. So
we all overthought that one. Perfect.
Overthought the hell 100%. Out of it. Well done, everybody. Yeah. 4. 2023 set a record for the most DC movies released in a single year with Aquaman 2, Blue Beetle, The Flash, and Shazam 2. Which other 2 years are tied for second. So for this, you have to give me two letters, right? Is it A, 1995, B, 2011, C, 2017, D, 2022? You need two of those letters. 1995 is A, 2011, B, 2017, C, 2022, D.
Shrimp of the land. I'm going to go C and D.
C and D is correct. Well done, Chumpzilla. 2017, 2022 are tied at three movies each.
Dude, I almost passed out trying to answer that question.
Yeah, that was the most convoluted question the pod has ever seen.
Bonus question.
It almost broke my brain.
Bonus question.
Yeah.
For 1 point each, can you name the three movies that were released, DC movies, in 2017 and 2022? 2017, 1 point. 2022, 1 point.
2017, was that like, geez.
Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Are you going to help him out?
The shitty Justice League.
Yeah, yeah. Wonder Woman, Justice League, and then.
Wait, 2017.
Suicide Squad. The shitty Suicide Squad.
Nope.
That was 2016.
Nope. Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't count.
Totally counts. It's a DC movie.
Oh, geez.
What about? All right. All been into the pod. 2022. Chime in. What were the three movies released in 2022? DC movies.
The Batman.
One.
The good Suicide Squad.
The Joker. Joker.
Wonder Woman 84.
That was 2021, huh?
Nope.
That was
the Joker was 2019.
2019. Jesus.
Yeah, 2022 was The Batman, Super Pets, and Black Adam.
And Black Adam, yep.
Oh yeah. I was thinking that was last year. That was 2022, damn.
I've watched Super Pets no fewer than 900 times.
Like, I'd like to point out
Shit like Jonah Hex, The Dark Knight Rises, and
yeah,
that's why I threw in 2011.
Seriously though, like post COVID, like between 2020 and now, like 1 year has passed.
Just or 100 years, and I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
All right, final question, Chumpy. You can tie it up.
Ooh.
Bling Blake, you can spoil it and make sure it goes to the Thunderous Wizard or Thunderous Wizard. You just close it out here. In Orm's final scene where he eats the cockroach burger, he is seen wearing a Jabberjaw t-shirt. This is a reference to the fact that in 2018, there was a Hanna-Barbera crossover with the DC characters in which Aquaman and Jabberjaw teamed up in a comic. Which of the following comic Hanna-Barbera combinations is real? Also happened. Is it A, Green Lantern and Space Ghost? Is it B, Judo Master and Hong Kong Fooey? Is it C, Batman and the Blue Falcon? Or is it D, Superman and the Jetsons?
Ooh, I mean, you're leaving out Scooby-Doo and Crypto too, which I own. Which is not a comic, it's a movie, but it's great.
But which of those are real? Only one is.
You know what? I want A or C to be correct. Those are both awesome.
Batman and the Blue Falcon.
That is incorrect.
Farts and Tarts, A.
Chumpzilla, you are correct. Green Lantern and Space Ghost was a real thing. It is tied up. You each get half a jar of Aura Calcum.
Do we know?
I am totally going to snort that so hard.
Because dude. I feel like if it was Guy Gardner, that's perfect. I have no notes for a Guy Gardner Space Ghost collaboration.
Kyle Rainier.
Hey, buddy. If I know one thing about the world, is that you want the top half of that jar of Aura Calcum, buddy. You don't want to be dipping your hand in after.
I don't need. You just take done whatever I know he's going to rub that on his butt crack like it's icy hot.
I'm not dipping back into that jar.
I put my shrimp of the land in it?
I don't know, because you think that that's a worm for some reason. I don't understand why
it works either way.
I feel like that's more explicit.
Yeah. Like why would it not? Why would it be something without an exoskeleton? Like, you don't make any sense when you talk. I don't even understand. How can you be smart?
It's a very weird thing. Yeah,
it's aggressive.
Bottom
feeders. Obviously, shrimp are sea bugs. Obviously,
worms are the bottom feeders of the land.
I mean, all right, just for funsies. All right.
None of them have a nervous system.
Okay.
or okay. a spine. They're okay. all okay. you know, invertebrae. Okay.
Well, what's your excuse?
Some of the other actual Hanna-Barbera DC crossovers were Adam Strange in Future Quest, Booster Gold in the Flintstones, which seems pretty great, Super Sons and Dynamut and the Blue Falcon, and Deathstroke and Yogi Bear. And I actually really want to read that one.
Yeah, I have questions.
Hey, Boo-Boo. That guy's going to chop you in half.
Boo-Boo. Your head's over here. Your body's over there in the picnic basket.
Don't steal the picnic basket. That guy is a real angry Boo-Boo.
Yeah, deader than the average bear.
All right. With that, that is the end of Aquaman 2 Pod and Hops and Superheroic Flops. Let's move on to recommendations for the week. Bling Blake, what are you checking out? What should we be doing?
I don't have a whole lot for us this week, but I did catch Ricky Stenicki with Zac Efron and John Cena. It is just my kind of stupid fun. It's actually pretty decent. It's dumb. The whole premise is stupid. But, you know, our cast turns in some good performances, and it's pretty entertaining. So check it out. Ricky Stenicki. You can stream it right now somewhere.
Prime, I think.
It's
Nick,
on
you're right.
Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah.
All right. With that, Thunderous Wizard, what do you got?
Okay. So I finished the Ed Zwick book, Hops, Flops, and Other Illusions, which is about his 40 years in Hollywood and the movie-making business and television business. If you love movies...
is that where we got the name for this pod?
No. I mean, I went and heard him speak.
Does he owe us copyright?
So check it out. It's a good book. I love a lot of his movies. I don't remember if I recommended Glory on the Madam Web pod, but I watched it. It holds up very well. It's a true actor's showcase, and you get a very young Andre Brower, RIP, in his first Hollywood picture. There's some great stories about him in that book, and Denzel Washington and Tom Cruise, who, despite being very strange, it seems like just the greatest dude on earth, because they obviously made a couple of movies together, but the most important being The Last Samurai, which I really, really love. Great stories about that movie in there, and the casting of Ken Watanabe over Hiroyuki Sanada in the title role, because that was quite controversial in Japan, because the most storied actor is supposed to get the biggest role based upon their hierarchical system. And then once the Japanese saw the movie, they're like, oh, you made the right choice. Also, Sonata was apparently just a joy to work with, and we love him on this pod. And then I also watched The Creator.
Watch Shogun, everybody. I know I've said that more than once.
I watched The Creator, which is the Gareth Edwards sci-fi movie.
Not The Boys, the other guy.
With John David Washington. As a guy who has to go get this young child who is the ultimate AI weapon. The movie costs $80 million. It's gorgeous. Obviously, some of the concepts in there are been used before, but I thought it was a really good movie. It's well acted. I thought it was emotionally resonant. I really enjoyed it. So,
one question on that movie, T-Dubs. Do you feel like the trailer gave too much away?
No. I think if you watch the trailer, you get a good sense of the meat of the story, but not everything that goes into it. And when you watch the film, it's a very much an anti-war film too, which speaks to me.
Sure.
So check it out.
I just feel like the reveal of the child being like the...
No, that there's way more than that. So the child, of course, is obviously important, but definitely watch it. It's free on Hulu. Okay.
Awesome.
And then lastly, The Gentlemen, the TV show on Netflix, which is based on the Guy Ritchie movie from 2017, which I've recommended on this pod because it's friggin' awesome. The show's really good, too. And he wrote most of the episodes. He's directed a couple. It's like 8 episodes. It's fun. It's great Guy Ritchie-style content. You know, nice. British crime stuff, snappy, witty, punchy. It's fun.
All right. And Chumzilla, what do you got?
My recommendation this week is a documentary series that has just come out, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. I think it's on like Discovery Plus initially, but it'll be streaming on Max and other services, Amazon Prime and stuff like that, once like all the episodes are out, and they might already be out by the time this airs. And I've seen extensive clips on Twitter/YouTube too, so I don't think they're trying to suppress this at all. But it's a documentary about Dan Schneider, who was a writer and producer at Nickelodeon in like the late 90s and early 2000s. You might recognize him as the overweight manager character from Good Burger. You know,
I do not think that is true.
Yeah, no, he is an actor in the Good Burger movie that came out like what, 90s?
Let me rephrase. Not that that's not true that he's in it, just that I would recognize him from that.
Oh, yeah, and don't forget that Star Jackson also stars in that movie with Keenan and Kel. Star Jackson being Kevin Federline's first wife before he left her for Britney Spears. But anyway, yeah, it turns out the dude's kind of a monster. And was super
he's not even the worst of it, right? It's another guy that molested the guy Drake Bell from Drake and Josh.
Yeah, it's pretty much awful across the board. Lots of adults here let down the children that they were basically responsible for. It's awful, and it basically explains why Amanda Bynes lost her mind. Because she was knee deep in this, but yeah. Quiet on the Set. It's on Discovery Plus and other services shortly. It's a terrifying look at how the children's entertainment sausage gets made. And maybe somebody should do something about this. I don't know.
Well, that sounds horrible. My suggestion is X-Men 97. Watch the first two episodes. It's legitimately great.
Dude, Angela Bassett as Storm.
Storm.
Wow. Perfect casting.
Wow, excellent. Shocking. Captain Cash recommended a cartoon from the 90s.
It's brand new. It just came out this today.
I preferred when she was the romantic foil for Eddie Murbius in A Vampire in Brooklyn.
The original Murbius.
The original. Nobody merbed harder than Eddie Murbius.
Oh, poor Eddie Murbius. He tried to merb so hard.
And he did.
And he did merb. He did. He merbed. Also, I'm pretty sure Storm is played by Allison Seeley Smith.
No.
I think they kept the original cast.
Keep the original cast.
Oh, I thought I read online that they recast her.
You would be incorrect in this.
She sounds a lot like Angela Bassett.
Definitely, yeah. Bassett.
Definitely Bassett.
Bassett, yeah, not Bassett.
Chumpzilla, you're never going to get your groove back if you don't get this fucking name right.
Dude. Listen, we're going to get Taye Diggs on the pod, and it's going to be fine. All right. Well, remember, you can find the show on Facebook X, formerly Twitter, and Instagram at Hops and BO Flops. You can find the Thunderous Wizard at Writer TLK. I am CAPTCASH on most of your social media. Bling Blake can be found at Bling Blake, and Mayor McCheese can be found at the bottom of the ocean. Chumpzilla, as always, is at Chumpzilla8. If you enjoy the show, make sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe, and connect with us on social media to share ideas for another pod you'd like us to do. We'll see you for the next Hops and Box Office Flops, where we will be doing Hops and Live Action Flops, where we take a look at the less successful times Hollywood was able to adapt classic cartoons.